We're back with another episode. We're going to talk about a lot of things. You want to lead us off? What are we going to talk about?
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking all about... today's episode is specifically, in a lot of ways, for people who are leading, especially speaking out within church. That's not usually something we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. Typically, we talk about more conversational things. But one thing that we'll hit on later is that you have to share from what you have. And so we always share based upon what we have. We share based upon what we've learned. And this is something that we are learning. So therefore, we are going to share it. But recently, a couple weeks ago, we spent some time at a youth camp. And for me, this youth camp, it was great. First off, I mean, a lot of good things happened that week. I had the opportunity to speak 3 out of the 4 nights. Allie spoke the other night that I didn't. And then the rest of those nights, she also led worship.
With Ethan,
who you guys know now. And he's also right over here. So that's fun. So we were doing that. It was a great time. Ended up the last night, by the time the last night came, I think 9 kids had given their lives to Christ. And then they found out that another one went home the next day and then gave their life to Christ at church the day after camp ended. So like so many good things happened at camp. But for us as leaders, it was an amazing experience because we were able to see the kids from day one really not really be into it, not really being tendered to the Holy Spirit, and feeling like they weren't really being receptive of what we had to say or how we led, and then moving throughout the week and catching, you know, really getting in the stream of Holy Spirit with him moving and the kids being super receptive of that. Okay. With all of that said, speaking to the leader, okay, the young man, the young girl, woman who stands up and says, I'm going to give a word. You know, you feel like God has a word for you to share, so you step up and you give this word. This is all for also for, I mean, any sort of pastor, anybody just speaking, but there's a temptation to think that when speaking, when leading out in such a way that others' response reflects a job well done by you. So the more response I get,
the better
I feel like I did, mm-hmm. The better my sermon was, or, you know, the less response that we get, the worse our sermon was. And here's the thing. That would be true if it was a performance. That would be true if this was a basketball game. This is not a basketball game. We are stepping into God's arena to where we don't score, we don't judge based upon how many points are on the scoreboard, you know, and we don't play the game to 4 quarters of 8 minutes each. This is a different ball game. And it's not like your success as a speaker is not predicated based on others' reactions. Your success as a speaker is based on your obedience to what Christ and Holy Spirit want to say through you. Mm-hmm. And with you being receptive of that and you getting caught up in that, that's success.
Yeah.
Because what matters what we have to say.
Yeah.
What does God want to say?
And I think that this isn't just relevant for like the people that are up on stage, but it's like those that are leading Bible studies in their house.
Yes.
You know? Because you're leading from a place of vulnerability already when you're inviting people into your home and you're sharing your heart. And one thing that I want to point out that I've noticed in me is when I lead in one area or the other, I think automatically that my leading has to be perfect. There is this struggle, and this is with anything in our lives, but there's always this stigma of, this has to be perfect. I have to say the right thing so that this person knows exactly what I'm saying, so God can prick their heart and bring them to Jesus and blah, blah, blah. And there's so much pressure with trying to be perfect. Perfect creates pressure when you're trying to lead. So if you have, perfect, I have to be perfect in mind when you're leading, then there's going to be a lot of pressure there. And it almost creates this wall between you and the Holy Spirit, because you're like, I've prepared it, this is what it's for. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit's trying to get to you, but you're like, no, I don't want to go there because I'm too scared and I'm not ready and I'm not prepared and I'm just going to do what I know I can do, and that's how it's going to end. And so it's like, okay, then it seems like it's more of a performance. So it's like the three P's: perfection leads to pressure, and then pressure leads to, it's just a performance because I'm not listening to the Holy Spirit. And it's like,
which leads to profit.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm just kidding.
You joke a lot. Sorry, guys. He jokes a lot.
Yeah. But with that experience, you know, we were able to, again, from night one, see, you know, no reaction. I mean, I'm just going to walk you through the week. Monday at camp, we gave, what I felt was like a pretty good word, you know, like I had prepped for it. I felt good about it, and worship was, you know, good, but I stepped up there and I'm speaking, and I feel like I'm speaking this word. I'm so excited to be there. I prepped for it, and it's camp. Like, if you can't get up for amped for camp, what are you doing, you know? And so I'm amped and I'm ready to go, and I'm seeing these kids fall asleep. I'm like, are you kidding me? What's going on here? They're falling asleep in like the second row. They're not even in the back, you know? And, I was like, man, like I obviously like delivered something that like wasn't great. Right. And then this guy came up to me afterwards, and I was already, you know, Satan's going to implant those thoughts. Mm-hmm. Like, man, you just really served up something not good. Mm-hmm. And I'm already taking that thought captive and saying, you know, as it's coming into my mind, I'm saying, you know what, Satan, my success as a leader, as a speaker, is not dependent on other people's reactions. Mm-hmm. Did I say what God wanted me to say?
Yeah.
And then if I did, then I can move on and be good. And so I'm taking those thoughts captive, and I'm letting the devil know, you know, who's in charge here.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out is, you know, he was saying like, man, they're falling asleep and they're doing this. But one thing that we need to understand as leaders is that we aren't responsible for how a person chooses to react to a word that God has given you. We are responsible for being obedient to the Lord. So if you're being obedient to the Lord and, you know, you're not very encouraged by the way people are taking what God has planted in you, and you know he's giving you the confidence to share with others, it's okay. You know, most of the time when we are given a word or we're giving something that we need to share with others and lead and stuff, we aren't going to see the effects of what God does most of the time because it's internal, you know? So just remember that we are not responsible for the person's reactions or the way that they choose to listen. We are responsible for being obedient to the Lord. And being obedient to the Lord as a leader is more impactful. And it almost gives you this mindset to, hey, it's okay if someone's falling asleep in the back row, because this isn't about, am I making them happy? And am I speaking a word that they're enjoying, because it's not for their enjoyment. It's for God, and it's to glorify God. So it's like, if we have that mindset right off the bat, then it's almost like, it's like this godly confidence that we can.
Godfidence.
It's this godly confidence that we can lead well and know that we're not responsible for, you know, what they do. We're responsible for being obedient to the Lord. And that's where it takes pressure off of us, because we're recognizing and acknowledging that that it's not about us and that we aren't responsible for it. Because if we were, we would be discouraged every single time we led, you know? Yeah. We would be discouraged every time we got together and led a group of people. And if you are a leader, like, none of us are perfect. And the second that you realize that, you're going to be discouraged and you're going to get down on yourself. And guess what? Leaders disappoint. Leaders make mistakes. But it's your mindset and what are your goals? Why are you doing what you're doing? And what is the purpose for that that's really going to get you through just leading? So, yeah.
And then just to progress throughout the week, you know, that's night one. We transition into night two. And I don't know how you felt night two. I felt like night two was very similar to night one as far as responses go and stuff like that. So again, I'm taking these thoughts captive. The enemy is trying to get to me, right? And, but it's not happening. It's not working. Not today, Satan. And night three was really this breakthrough moment. And Allie actually gave the word that night, and a guy came up to me afterwards and was like, well, you know, she really knocked it out of the park. Maybe you should let her preach tomorrow night too.
Oh my gosh.
Just messing around, you know, because he knew I was speaking the next night and he knew I'd spoken the previous nights. But I just laughed and it was funny. It really was. Definitely didn't take offense to it. It was hilarious. But, and then the next night, so the first two nights, I was very prepped. I had all my ducks in a row. And then the last night, I preached with zero notes. So I wasn't prepped at all. And
props.
It's really not me saying like, oh, I preached with no notes. It's really, I already knew the sermon. Like, I've preached the sermon multiple times. I knew the text. I was comfortable preaching out of it. So if I had notes, I probably wouldn't look at them a whole lot anyways. And I honestly ran out of time. So I was like, you know what? Let's just go for it. So without any notes, I was able to deliver a word that I felt like was from God, just like the first two nights were. Yet the response was completely different. And what it showed me was that the impact of my sermon had a lot less to do with me than it did with God being active in his word and making it go forth.
Yeah. 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 So I think,
and I knew that for a long time.
Yeah.
And even, you know, have pastors and mentors, speak over me that exact truth.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something different from when it goes from here in your head to your heart.
Head knowledge to heart
and
knowledge.
For me that week, that truth went from the head to the heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you were living it. And I think something that's so crazy is, like, you step into a leadership position and you're prepped and you're ready to go, and you're like, I am confident, I have all my ducks in a row. And then the night that you were like, well, let's just let God do what he wants to do. And then he did. And like, there were responses and the Holy Spirit moved. I mean, from a perspective of when me and Ethan led worship, like, oh my gosh, that was one of the most like Holy Spirit filled places I've ever been.
It was
in my life, awesome. Leading worship. And I've led worship at different camps, and I've led worship since I was 15, and I was like, whoa, that was awesome. Can we do that every week? Can this be the response every single time? But it was like, what if our mindset was like it was that night where you were like, well, God's all I got at this point. I don't have my notes. It's like, okay, even if we are prepped, even if we do have the notes, can we get into that space of God, just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Even though I have these notes, even though I'm prepped and ready to go, just do what you want to do. Put me behind the cross, you know? And if we led from that place more, how much different would it affect not only us in the way we led, but in just the way that the Holy Spirit would just, you know, fill the place. Because, man, if you have a wall up and you're trying to be in control all the time, then it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be obedient to what the Lord wants to do.
Right. Yeah. So that was our week. Mm-hmm. And really, we were able to take it and learn from it. And what you described right there is the product of what we learned all week. So am I telling you that the best thing to do is to have no notes? No, I'm absolutely not telling you that. You should work like it depends on you, and but pray like it depends on God.
Yeah.
You know, and whenever you step it, you know, work so hard, right, in your prep. Do all the prep. That's a good thing. That whenever, you know, the time for the service comes, like, you are so open just to listen to his voice because you're not, like, so focused on what you're reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to take this in another direction, too, just for the practical, how we can practically apply this if you're not in a position of being a pastor or a worship leader or whatever, speaker. I'm going to use a vulnerable, real example. We all know what, Kyle knows what I'm talking about. So the other day, like, I work a full-time job and it's a daycare. And no, that's, that's completely different from, maybe my dream, what my dreams are, my goals are, but sure, it's where I'm at in life and it's what I'm doing. And I think so many young people are at that point, maybe at that point where they're working a job. It's not really where they're going to be for the rest of their life, but it's where God's put them. So yep, that's where we're going to be faithful towards. And, you know, if you follow Jesus and you're at your job and it's tough and there are situations that really challenge you, you know, you can almost feel like you were responsible for being the example. You were responsible for, you know, showing Jesus to your coworkers. And I've been in this place for a while, and there was just a situation where for a couple of days where it got really hard at work, and I just felt so overwhelmed with just trying to be obedient to what the Lord says, you know, not participating in gossip and not participating in drama and all that stuff. And just what, you know how it is when you're at work and just things get stressful. So it was Wednesday night, and me and Kyle had been asked to lead youth because our youth pastor and some of the youth was gone in Mexico. So we were about to lead. It was 5 o'clock, and Kyle had already known when he got in the car that I had just something over me. I was not acting right. I was heavy. You know, the past 2 days have been hard, and it was just relevant, and it was evident over me. So we got to the church, and I mean, we had to sit down, and he had talked to me about what was going on. And I was like, I just feel so much pressure to be this example and to be perfect, showing Jesus at work. And I'm just so overwhelmed with all of the pressure and just the world, because the world can get heavy when you are trying to follow Jesus. But, you know, stressful situations come at work and you're trying to hold yourself together, you know. And so, man, I was just feeling the pressure, and we were getting ready to lead, and we were going to do it together. We were going to talk together. We were going to talk about comparison and identity. And I had all my notes prepped and everything. I was ready to go, but that's not where the Holy Spirit wanted to lead. So we had, you know, a conversation before youth started, and I just shared my heart with him and everything that was going on. And I was just like, man, I do not feel ready at all to give this word to these kids at youth tonight. I don't feel ready at all. I don't feel prepared, you know. I don't feel like I got my ducks in a row. And youth, like, the actual youth service starts, and I remember looking at Kyle, and we're going to talk about comparison identity, and I see all these guys coming in. I'm like, man, where are all the girls, you know? And I look over to Kyle. I was like, I don't think I can give this message. And Kyle was talking, and I just kept, like, saying, God, What do you want me to do? What is it that you want to say to these kids tonight? So having what we had, the conversation we had just talked about in mind before we started youth, like that's where it went the rest of the night. We didn't even talk about comparison identity. We didn't even, what we talked about to the kids, we just had a conversation with them about doing the hard things, like going to school and being a light for Jesus, even though it's hard, you know. Maybe you're going to work and you're being a light for Jesus and it's really hard. We weren't even supposed to talk about that, but it was the fact that my heart posture was in a place of, God, I am so weak right now. I need you. I don't have anything but you. So I want you to lead me. Where are you wanting us to lead? What are you wanting us to talk about? That, like, that heart posture was what allowed me to listen to what the Holy Spirit wanted and led with obedience to the Lord. So,
yeah. Well, you had confidence in that moment.
Yeah. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm about to talk about to these kids.
Because of your confidence, you went from, you know, feeling like, oh, well, like my word is going to be the pressure point at which this service is either going to go good or this service is going to go bad.
Yeah.
And you switched that from that mentality to, Lord, I just want to be a vessel for you.
Yeah.
So how do we get to the point where we're not worried about being the main attraction? We're not worried about being, you know, the backbone, the tipping point at which at this point the service is going to go good or it's going to go bad.
Yeah.
Instead, we just say, God, we just want to be used by you.
Yeah. And that was the point that I was at. And I had wrote in my journal, you know, just about the night, but this is something that I had wrote down. I said, it was the best way to lead by admitting that I was weak. In that moment, I acknowledged it and allowed the Spirit to then take control of me and the rest of the night. What if we always led from this place? It's all about heart posture.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, I want to think about that night. I want to think about how weak I felt in that moment. Mm-hmm. The next time I am prepared and prepped, so that if God wants to take it in a different direction, he can and he will, because I'm being obedient to them. And it's also the fact that I didn't have to put any pressure on myself in that moment after having a rough day just in the world, because I knew that it wasn't about me being perfect and giving the word perfectly, because none of us are perfect. And there's this
stigma. Not even one.
Yeah. And like in leadership, of course.
Well, actually, there was one. Sorry.
In leadership, God calls you to a higher place. You know, of course, we are called to a higher place, and, you know, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to feel weak and we're not going to have those weak moments where we feel like we have nothing left to give. Because in leadership, there was a lot of times, it's most of the time more than none, where you feel like you have nothing left to give. You have nothing left to give to people from what you've learned, but it's in those moments where God can just, he can just speak through you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that, I don't know, this might be a little bit of a left-hand turn. I'm not sure how we're going to bring this back together, but, one thing that I struggle with, 'cause like you felt a lot of pressure, before speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that pressure went away, you were able to become a vessel.
Yeah.
And it just be like more straight from Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel pressure in a different way. I actually feel a pressure in my prep. I don't necessarily feel pressure to be prepped, probably because I'm used to showing up and not being prepped. Which isn't necessarily a great thing.
Yeah.
But because I'm used to that, I actually feel pressure in my prep. So whenever I sit down and I am getting ready to study my scripture, whenever I'm getting my notes together for a sermon, I really can't describe to you the amount of spiritual warfare that feels like takes place whenever I'm about to do sermon prep. Satan will speak things on top of you when you're trying to sermon prep, or whenever I'm trying to sermon prep at least, to really try to discourage me and distract me. He does both of those things. So whenever I step into my area of sermon prep, if I can sit down at that table and before I write a single word down on a piece of paper, say this, whether it's in my head or out loud, no matter what word I put on this page, no matter what word ends up coming out of my mouth before I speak, regardless, the one who goes before me is stronger than I am, more powerful than I am, and he's already going before me, so like I don't have to stress right now. I don't have to feel pressure right now, even in my sermon prep, because ultimately I could have the best words written down on this piece of paper, speak them, but if the Holy Spirit is not with those words, they are just going to just fall on dead ears. But if the Holy Spirit and me are on a team and we're together in it, then I can almost speak anything.
Yeah.
And it do some good stuff, some good response, you know. But there was another point that I wanted to hit on, is whenever the Holy Spirit was so alive and active, right, in that room on Thursday night, night four of camp, that I made the comment afterwards to you. I said, I feel like I could have said almost anything and it would have went well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say that is a very high responsibility to take care of.
Yeah.
Whenever you find yourself in such an environment, you have to be really careful to not say something out of line.
Yeah.
Because Satan could really use that to confuse people.
Yeah.
But that's why it is important. Again, I said earlier that me not being prepped necessarily on night four and preaching with no notes, that's not necessarily always a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we're saying, okay, don't be prepped, don't do this. It's just saying, like, in our weak moments, and our weak moments for us might look different to your weak moments, you know. We're just saying, like, in your weak moments, you can either turn to your fears and turn to your weaknesses, or you can turn to God, who gives you strength anyways, and you turning to him in your weak moment is the thing that speaks through you. So it's almost like you have a choice. We're not saying choose to be weak, choose to do it our way. We're just sharing like what we have, and
it's what we have,
what we've experienced. And like, everyone has different weak moments. Maybe it's not prepping for a sermon. Maybe it's not prepping for worship or whatever. Maybe it's just trying to prep for your work day, or trying to prep for a college test, or whatever it is,
like
that
a meeting you have at work at 9 a.m. and you're up at 5 a.m. trying to scram to get things together for
just
it.
Whatever it is that you know that this is a weak moment for me, this is a weak point for me, you can choose to either turn to your fear and turn to your weaknesses, or you can acknowledge your weaknesses and say, but I'm going to let God lead instead of my flesh and turn to him instead. So I just want to encourage you guys that it's okay that you have those moments, because we know from the beginning in Genesis that we aren't perfect and we fail and we eat the apple, but it's our choice after we fall and after we maybe made a mistake and after, you know, we're in this weak moment of vulnerability and we have nothing left to give, but God has everything to give and he's going to do it through you, but you have to allow him to do that. So I just encourage you guys to just lead from that place, set an example from that place, and embrace that place, because if we don't, then we're just going to have to think that we have to be perfect and in control all the time.
Yeah, you don't have to be perfect. And one thing that I want to just add on top of that to close this episode out is a quick little phrase that I heard, and it has helped me a lot, especially whenever I have a task to do and I... So perfectionist, you know, we are really good in a way that we usually have our T's crossed and our I's dotted. But one of the downfalls is that sometimes it takes us a while to get our T's crossed and our I's dotted because we're too busy looking at, you know, how the letter before it looked, you know. So this guy, Craig Rochelle, you guys probably have heard of him. He said one time, you need to Gitmo in those moments. Gitmo. Gitmo. Somebody say Gitmo. Gitmo.
Oh, my.
So you have to Gitmo. And what that stands for is good enough to move on. Mm. Whenever he said that, and I heard from a guy that I respect so much in Craig Rochelle, that he does things. Now, there's a dichotomy here.
There's a line.
He does things good enough to move on. Now, that's not saying he slacks, but that's what he's saying is there's a point at which you get a diminishing return. Now, I don't want to get too complicated here, please. But basically the example that he used, because I'm talking about sermon prep and stuff like that. The thing that he said was that he could spend about 8 hours prepping for a sermon and get it to about 80% of where it needs to be. He could spend an additional 20 hours and get it from 80% to 90% of where it needs to be. He could spend an additional 40 hours working on his sermon, and it's actually going to go down to 85% of what he was because he overcooked his sermon.
Overthinking, overanalyzing.
Yeah. So I heard a leader like him say, you know, hey, you know, figure out, you know, like how much is good enough to move on. Now, that's not bad enough to move on. That's not mediocre enough to move on. No, good enough to move on. That was a freeing thing for me. It allowed me to... whenever I just have 45 minutes or just an hour, you know, and I really needed to get some deep studying in for this sermon I have coming up, but I have a busy schedule and I don't have time just to dive in for 3 hours at a time, and I just have 30 minutes sitting there, I look at my desk and I say, Gitmo. And I just go. I get good enough to move on. And then later I come back to it and just do it again. And then I look up and I'm like, I'm done. I'm finished.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, this is awesome. So you don't have to be perfect.
Nope.
And use Gitmo to fight to fight perfectionism.
Yep.
Yeah. Progress over perfection.
Yep. It's good.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Even if you don't consider yourself a leader, you are.
You are.
And
leadership is just influence.
Yeah.
We all have influence.
Yeah. Just like you think, I'm not an influencer. I don't have that many followers. You're on social media. You have followers. You are somewhat of an influencer. You influence people, but it's the way you influence people. So if you don't think you are a leader.
Do you go through the drive-thru at McDonald's? I mean, you have influence over the person that handed you your orange juice.
Yeah.
You know?
So you are a leader, even if you don't think you are. God's giving you places to lead. I hope you are encouraged in this episode, but we will see you next week.